Well, I want to introduce Courtney because I got to hear her at the women's conference this year. She's just a powerful woman of God with a wonderful, powerful testimony. So come and bless us, Courtney.
Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. Well, praise the Lord, church. I know that that is a greeting, but it's also an instruction. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So do me a favor. I want you all to stand to your feet, and I want you to truly praise God from the fruit of your lips like you're glad to be here today, because he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That was pretty good. We'll try that again later. Well, my name is Courtney Hauser. My family and I, we usually attend CNC Valley View. So some of you I have not seen before, but it is good to be with our Wycliffe family today. And then later this afternoon, we'll be with our Avon family. I do want to wish all the moms, spiritual moms, aunties, grandmas, if you have nurtured a child in any kind of way, I do want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. I also want to say thank you to our pastors, Pastor Lewis, Pastor Tina, Kayton. We have some of the best pastors in the world. Amen. And I just want to say thank you to them for allowing me to speak today. I'm not going to be before you long. I want to jump right into my message. I'm speaking to you from the topic of birthing the promises of God. And we're going to look at scripture, John chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. You can also use your phone and look up the scripture, or it'll be right up there on the screens. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. I really like this translation because it's just easy to understand. So verse 21 through 23. When a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. There's no getting around it. But when the baby is born, there is joy in the birth. This new life in the world wipes out memory of the pain. The sadness you have right now is similar to that pain, but the coming joy is also similar. When I see you again, you'll be full of joy, and it will be a joy no one can rob from you. You'll no longer be so full of questions. Although this passage of scripture is Jesus preparing the disciples for his death, I've come this morning to prepare you to birth new life into this world. Some of you are feeling the pains of being pregnant with a promise from God. That pain might include frustration, being uncomfortable with where you are, feeling like God is stretching and growing you, or even feeling stuck. My job this morning is to prepare you for delivery. Some of the seeds that you are carrying are past due. And the longer that you carry them, the more uncomfortable you'll become. It's time to give birth to the dreams, goals, visions, and ideas that God placed on the inside of you. And I want to show you today how to do that. So you can consider me your spiritual doula or your spiritual midwife this morning. If you don't know what a doula or midwife is, it's a woman who is trained to assist another woman during childbirth and who may provide support to the family after the baby is born. You may not be able to tell because I'm working this dress, but I am 5 months pregnant. Thank you. So my message this morning is inspired by my own current state, and I thought it would be fitting for a Mother's Day message. Well, really, my husband and I, are 5 months pregnant. And I said, we are, because he's pregnant too. He got cravings, nausea, little weight gain there too. But we're pregnant with our first child together. We do have two other beautiful girls that are here with us today, Faith and Taylor. But this will be my first time actually giving birth. And if I can be honest with you guys, can we make a promise that we're going to be honest with each other this morning? Is that okay? If I can be honest with you all, this pregnancy has not been pretty. It hasn't. You know how you see other pregnant women and they just seem to be handling their pregnancy so well? They don't have any morning sickness, no back pain, they're glowing, they're exercising. I even saw a lady the other day on Instagram, she was pregnant and she had abs. And I was just like, how does that work? She had a baby bump, but the baby bump had a six pack. I have no idea how she got that, how that happened. I can barely bend over to touch my toes. I don't know how she was in the gym working out like that. But that has not been my story at all. In fact, it's been the exact opposite. Now, of course, when we first discovered that we were pregnant, we were all excited. We were crying tears of joy. Well, I was crying tears of joy. My husband might have been crying for a different reason, but I was excited. And I couldn't wait to get my little baby bump. I mean, we started thinking of names. I thought being pregnant was just being cute with a little bump. I didn't think of anything else. I was so excited. I was praying over my womb every day. I was decreeing and declaring and just smiling all over the place. I hadn't even anticipated the downside of pregnancy. Nobody told me. The weight gain, the loss of sleep, switching from one side to the other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The crazy cravings. I don't even want to tell y'all what I've been eating. It's bad. But I was just ready. I didn't care about any of that. I was ready to tackle the journey of giving birth for the first time. So that went on until about the second month of being pregnant. I started to get pretty sick. At first, we thought it was just the typical pregnancy kind of symptoms, morning sickness and the mood swings. How come nobody told me about the mood swings? I mean, I'm a pretty emotionally stable person. I'm a licensed professional counselor. You said no?
I didn't say
no. Oh, okay. Just checking. I would consider myself to be an emotionally stable person, but once those hormones kicked in, Jesus, I went from laughing in the same sentence to crying over nothing. I mean, it was just crazy, but nobody wore me. So yes, the mood swings, but then things just kind of started to get worse. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't drink anything. I couldn't even turn my head without getting sick. I was vomiting several times a day. I had trouble even finding the energy to get out of bed. I was weak. I started experiencing dizziness, headaches. My ears were ringing. I became sensitive to light, sensitive to sound. Any loud movement would literally scare me. It would cause me to be anxious. I couldn't even bathe by myself. I had to leave my job for about 2 months, because I couldn't get out the bed, I couldn't go to work. I lost about 10 pounds, and eventually I got to the point where I couldn't even keep water down, not even a sip. So I was hospitalized and was diagnosed with something called hyperemesis gravidarum, or HG for short. It's a condition that less than 2% of pregnant women experience. Less than 2%. And I had to be a part of that less than 2%. Isn't that how it happens sometimes, though? But basically, it's a condition where you're not able to keep anything down orally. And you all know, as being pregnant, how important that is. Whether it be eating food, you have to stay hydrated by drinking, you have to take vitamins. I couldn't take anything orally. Also with HG comes that sensitivity to light and sound that I was talking about that usually doesn't accompany just normal pregnancy symptoms. So I was in the hospital for a while, and eventually they were able to find a combination of several medications that worked to allow me to begin eating again, thank God. Because they told me, had I not been able to eat and keep anything down in the hospital, my next step would have been a PICC line, meaning they would have had to give me all my nutrients and vitamins and everything through an IV. The next step would have also been a feeding tube. And that is not a good way to start pregnancy, on a PICC line and on a feeding tube. But by the grace of God, I was able to start eating again. Along with these physical challenges came emotional ones. Because I went almost a week without eating anything, I started to fear that the baby wasn't getting enough nutrients. I started thinking, well, what if I have a miscarriage? What if the baby's not healthy? What if the baby doesn't develop properly? I feared that I wouldn't be able to even connect with the baby because I was so sick. Wasn't this supposed to be a happy and exciting time? That was the last thing I felt, was excitement. I even feared that I would be a bad mom. Those fears turned into panic attacks and extreme sadness. My excitement about being pregnant was now swallowed up by fear and doubt. So my question is to you, do you remember when God first planted a seed of promise in you? Do you remember how excited you were when he first gave you the idea to write a book, to start a business, to get involved in a ministry, to go back to school, to take up your dream profession? Do you remember daydreaming about what you would name your vision, what it would look like? Do you remember when the thought alone that God had chosen you for such a special assignment was enough to get you out of bed in the morning? Do you remember when it was enough to put a smile on your face for the whole day? So what happened that caused you to change your outlook on your assignment? Were you like me and things outside of your control began to discourage you? Did fear and doubt replace your excitement? Did you get a case of the what ifs? What if I fail? What if I miscarry? What if it doesn't work out? What if people don't like it? What if I'm not good enough? The only way that you can move forward in birthing the promises of God is if you replace the what ifs with even ifs. Replace the what ifs with even ifs. Right. See, instead of telling myself, what if this happens? What if that happens? I had to tell myself that even if I miscarry, God would heal me. Even if I can't connect with the baby at first, it'll happen eventually. Even if I don't know how to take care of a newborn, God will teach me. See, the promises of God are yea and amen, meaning yes, and it is so. So if God entrusted me with the promise of a seed and all things work together for my good, then somehow this process of being pregnant is going to work for my good. Even if I don't understand, even if it's painful, even if I can't see it, it's going to work for my good. So when it comes to your dreams, begin to tell yourself, even if no one believes in me, even if things don't go as planned, even if I don't have the full blueprint, it's going to work for my good. Look at somebody next to you and say, it's going to work for my good. Yeah, get comfortable talking, because we're going to keep talking to each other and to yourself. It's going to be interactive in here today. So if you look back at the scripture, if you could put the scripture back up for us. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's mentioning to them that they're experiencing sadness because he's beginning to reveal the plan of God to them. He's beginning to reveal his purpose and his plan and how they're included in that. And if we can be honest, because y'all promised to be honest, right? Sometimes when God begins to reveal things to you about what you're going to have to go through in order for his plan to be birthed out of you, it's not always exciting. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's painful. It's easy to get excited at first, but then when you think about going outside of your comfort zone, when you think about talking to people or connecting and doing things that you never had to do, it's not always that exciting anymore. We get excited when we hear a prophetic word about what we're called to do and what our assignment is and what our purpose is. But for every mountaintop prophecy, there's always a valley. And sometimes it doesn't feel good to be in the valley. So as Jesus is talking, he's revealing that it's God's plan that he leave them for a time, and that that time would be painful. They couldn't understand it, and their mind filled with doubt. It filled with questions, just like yours might be today. Maybe you're wondering, God, how are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? Why me? Anybody ever ask God that? Why me? But if you can replace those questions with declarations, if you can replace the what ifs with even ifs, then you can continue on through the stages of delivery. Now, one thing that I love about this scripture is that not only does Jesus acknowledge their pain, but if you look at the scripture, he says, the sadness you have right now is similar to the pain, talking about the pain of childbirth. But then there's a comma. See, the comma, we're taught in school, is a punctuation mark that indicates a pause between parts of a sentence. It indicates a pause between the events in the first part of the sentence and the events in the second part of the sentence. So if you read the sentence again, it can really be read as, the sadness you have right now is similar to that pain, but after a brief pause, which is the comma, the coming joy is also similar. See, that comma is so important because it implies that something else is coming. It implies that weeping may endure for a night, but after a brief pause, joy comes in the morning. It implies that giving birth requires sweat, blood, and tears, but you don't stay in labor forever, thank God. Once you go through the stretching, the pain, and the pushing, there is joy. When you see what God has placed on the inside of you come alive in the flesh, when you see what started off as a thought develop into something that can have influence and impact on the world, you can't help but to forget about the pain that you have endured to get to that point. All you can focus on is that new creation that's come from you. So if you're considering, or if you feel like giving up on your dreams, please know, as my husband says quite often, that there is hope on the other side of the comma. Point to yourself this time. Point to yourself and say, there's hope on the other side of the comma. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. And as a licensed professional, I'm telling you, that's not crazy, depending on what you're talking about. But if you're encouraging yourself, it's not crazy and it's not bad. And sometimes you do have to talk to yourself. You all do it every morning when you're getting up from work and you really don't want to go into your job. You're talking to yourself. Come on, the bills got to be paid. I know you don't want to deal with such and such, but you got to do it today. You have to talk to yourself. Even David did it in Psalm 43 and 5. He said, why, my soul, are you downcast? He's talking to himself. Why so disquieted in me? Then he tells himself what to do. Put your hope in God. Then he tells himself what he is going to do. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So it's okay to talk to yourself, especially when you feel like giving up, to remind yourself of the promises of God, remind yourself of what God's called you to do and what he's in place, what he's placed inside of you.
Right.
So we've gotten through to first having a promise, getting excited, beginning to navigate through the fear, beginning to replace the what-ifs with even-ifs. But how do we get to the other side of the comma where there is joy? We have to refuse to rehearse the problem.
That's right.
And instead repeat the promise. Okay. Refuse to rehearse the problem and instead repeat the promise. See, I realized the longer that I said I didn't feel good, the worse I felt. The longer I reminded myself how sick I was, the sicker I became. I decided that when people would ask me how I was doing, I would begin to tell them I'm getting better.
That's right.
Did I feel like I was getting better? No. But I remembered that the power of life and death is where? It's in your tongue. It's in your tongue. And sometimes we forget that principle. But honestly, even the secular world has recognized it. So again, my background is in psychology. And I like research and all of that. And so there was a research project that they did testing the power of your words. They took two groups of plants. And for one plant, they said all these negative things to the plant. They said, you're ugly. You're never going to grow. You'll never be anything. You're stupid. You're weak. You suck. Your branches are brittle. Wait, do plants have branches? Your leaves. Your leaves. Pregnancy brain. Pregnancy brain. Your leaves. And they said all these negative things to it. Then they took another group of plants, and they said all these positive things to it. You're beautiful. You're so green. Your leaves, I got it right this time, look great. You're going to flourish. You're going to blossom. You're going to grow. And what do you all think happened to those plants? The plants that they spoke death over, after a while, begin to wither up and die. The plants that they spoke life over begin to grow and blossom and flourish. And so if even the secular scientific world has recognized the principle of the fact that the power of life and death is in your tongue, then how much more should we, who are spiritual beings with power and authority from on high, recognize that in our own lives? So again, did I feel like I was getting better? I didn't. But I had to keep speaking that I was. At one point, I even remember walking in my room and I told my husband, I said, we need to pray in here. There's so much sickness. And it just felt different. Have you ever walked into a room and it just feels kind of heavy? And it just feels kind of just low, just sick and dark. And that's how it felt walking into the room that I spent about 2 months in laying in the bed. And even though I really wasn't feeling better, I just started proclaiming and decreeing the promises of God, decreeing healing, decreeing that I wouldn't be in that position forever, decreeing that when I would walk in the room that I would experience healing, that I would feel the presence of God. And over time, it started to lift. So I want to remind you today that you need to stop rehearsing the problem or even what you think the problem is. Have you ever created a problem in your mind that wasn't even there?
Yes.
Am I the only one? Y'all gonna leave me by myself? No? All right. I can say I'm not diagnosing anybody today. Nobody's crazy. We're just being honest. But creating a problem based off of fear and telling yourself just the threat of something negative happening, it creates a whole problem that's not even there. And it turns out to not even be what you feared. But that we allow that to happen based on how we feel. And so I want to challenge you today to not allow how you feel to overpower what you know.
That's right.
Don't allow what you feel to overpower what you know. Stop rehearsing the reasons why you can't, why you won't, why you haven't, why it hasn't happened already, and repeat the promises of God. We've already said that the promises of God are yea and amen. So start repeating what he promised and then come in agreement with God and say yes and amen. Let's try it. Yes and amen. You agreeing with his word is the same thing as agreeing with him. Well, how do I know that? The Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So if you're in agreement with the word that God has placed on the inside of you, then you're in agreement with God. And what better place is there to be than to be in agreement with God? See, I don't know what God has promised you specifically, but I do know that he's promised us all that if we trust in him with all of our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, that he would direct our paths. I know he's promised us that they that wait on the Lord, and before I finish the rest of that scripture, because I know y'all know it, but before I go on to the rest of that, we get stuck at they that wait on the Lord. Waiting is not passive. Waiting on God is active. If God has promised you a job, you do not go sit on the couch and wait for a job to hit you in the head. You get up, you got to go fill out some applications, you got to go on some interviews. Waiting is active. It's seeking and pursuing God. But I know that sometimes the W-A-I-T, wait on God, can feel like a W-E-I-G-H-T, wait on you. But if you W-A-I-T, wait on God, actively seeking and pursuing, he'll lift the W-E-I-G-H-T, wait off of you. Now I'm going to go back to that scripture, and y'all can join me. They that wait on the Lord, he shall renew your strength. You'll mount up on wings like eagles that soar. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. God promised that he would never leave nor forsake us. So I know that if I'm trusting, leaning, acknowledging, actively waiting, that God promised me that he would give me direction, renew strength, and that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He promised me that joy will be waiting on the other side. And I don't know about you, but that was enough for me to keep going. So we've replaced the what ifs with even ifs. We've refused to rehearse the problems. We're going to repeat the promise. And now we have to name the promise. See, when I finally started to feel a little better, my husband and I started thinking of names for the baby. And I prayed and asked God to give me a name for a boy and a girl, because we didn't know what we were having at the time. And I said, God, I don't want just any name. I wanted a name that had meaning, significance. I wanted a name that was a declaration every time that we said it. And so the Lord gave me two names, a name for a boy, a name for a girl. A name for the boy was Josiah, and a name for the girl was Zoe. And so me being me, I had to go research. I had to go look up, what do these names mean? And so I started looking up the name Josiah first. I knew that Josiah was a name from the Bible. I knew that it was a boy who became king when he was 8 years old. But when I looked up what the name meant in the original language, which was Hebrew, y'all not gonna believe what the name means. The name means the Lord has healed. So here I am, sick, uncomfortable, frustrated, in pain. And the Lord sent me a name that declared healing. Not only did I take this to mean physical healing, but emotional healing as well. It had been just one of the areas in my life that I've struggled in the most, and the area that God uses me to help others. So then I went on to look up the name Zoe. And in the Greek language, it's Zoe. And in Greek, it means the life that God intended. When Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and life more abundantly," that's Zoe, or Zoe. So I knew that the Lord was telling me, whether my promise was a boy or a girl, that it was going to bring healing and or the life that God intended to have. Listen. And hey, if you're healed, you're living the life that God's intended for you. And if you're living the life that God's intended for you, then you're healed. So I said, either way, I'm good. I'm covered. So I encourage you today to go back and name the new life that you're getting ready to birth. What did God say your book was called? What is the title of your ministry? What is the title of your assignment? It's too late in the game to just generalize it. Put a name to it. Every new creation has a name and an assignment. The things that you are sitting on are called pews, and their job is to hold you while you sit. The thing that your feet are on is called a floor, and its assignment or its job is to keep you from falling as you walk or sit on it. If even the inanimate objects have names and assignments, then how much more should the seed that God has planted in you have one? Put a name to it. And finally, told y'all I wasn't going to be long. After carrying a baby for 9 months, whether you've been there or not, you know that at that 9-month mark, it's time to push. After all the pain, the discomfort, the morning sickness, the weight gain, the doubts, the fears, it's time to give birth. Now, I haven't gotten to this point naturally, but I've been there spiritually. I've even come up with an acronym for the word push. Do we have it up there? It's pursue until something happens. Now, I've heard this acronym used before as pray until something happens. And prayer is good. But how many know we can get stuck in prayer and never do anything about it?
That's true.
Faith without works is dead. So we've got to push. Pursue until something happens. See, some of us have aborted our dreams in the first or second trimester. Some of us are in our third trimester, and we've allowed the pain, fears, doubts, and questions to prevent us from pushing, from pursuing our dreams until something happens. See, God can plant a seed of vision in us, but if we don't pursue it, it'll never develop correctly or be born into the world. Somebody is waiting on what God has placed on the inside of you. Somebody is waiting on your testimony. Somebody's waiting on your product. Somebody's waiting on your service, your ministry, your idea, your invention, your cure, your influence. Lord knows my body hurts and I did not feel like getting up here this morning. But I knew that somebody was waiting on this message. And I knew and I told myself, I've got to pursue it until something happens. Jesus said, when a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a process. There's no way around it. But once that baby is born, once your dream is born, there is joy in the birth. The pain that you experience carrying the promises of God is nothing compared to the joy that you will experience when you birth the seed that He's planted inside of you. The joy that when you get it, no one can take it away from you. The joy that's unspeakable. The joy that gives you fulfillment, contentment, and keeps you longing for the more of God all at the same time. The joy of walking in His will and seeing His promises manifested in your life. But you've got to push. I hear somebody saying, but I'm too old. Push. But I've waited too long. Push. But I don't know how. Push. But I'm afraid. Push. But I'm not sure if it's really God. Push. But I'm not good enough. Push. But it might not work. Push. But others are going to have something to say about it. Push. But I'm not qualified. Push. But what about the disappointments? Push. What about the closed doors? Push. What about the missed opportunities? Push. What about the pain? Push. What about the fear? Push. What about the doubt? Push. What about the what ifs? Push. You've got to push past the problems. Push past. Push past the problems. You've got to repeat the promise and pursue until something happens. Chris, thank you. I hear the Lord saying to you all today, don't die full. Don't die full of vision. Don't die full of purpose. A vision never birthed or spoken into the atmosphere will not cry out from the grave. A vision never spoken or birthed into the atmosphere will not cry out from the grave. Some of you have given up. But there's gifts in you. There's purpose in you that you've given up on for whatever reason. Maybe nobody ever told you that it was in you, but you always thought that it was. Maybe somebody told you you weren't good enough or you couldn't do it because nobody else in your family has ever done it. But I declare to you today that God's not done with you. And He's waiting on you to give birth to what He's placed on the inside of you. Some of you are so uncomfortable in your environments and in your work environments because you're not supposed to be there. Because you don't fit. Because God's called you to do something different. I'm going to ask that the altar workers will come. And we're going to do altar call a little bit differently. I know that this message was for several people today. Can you grab the oil, babe? And just give some oil, place some oil on the hands of all the altar workers. In the Bible, when someone was being anointed or charged to a priestly role or the role of a prophet, something of importance. They were charged with an assignment. They were anointed with oil. And so I'm going to ask you, if this message was for you, if there is something that God has called you to do and you have not done it yet, whatever it is, book, ministry, business, be a part of something. It might just be witness to a neighbor or a coworker. It might be leave your job. It might be start something on your own. Whatever it is, if there is something that you were supposed to do and you have not done it yet, I'm going to ask that you would come forth. If there was anything that was in this message that touched you, I'm going to ask that you would come, not out of shame, not out of guilt, not out of condemnation, but in agreement with what God's placed on the inside of you. And the altar workers are going to anoint you with oil. They're going to smear upon you the promises of God and charge you to go ahead and fulfill your assignment. If you're here, come on. I know you're here. I know you're here. Just come forward. No condemnation. No guilt. No shame. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. It's not too late. Come forth.